Quinn Montana has been a teacher, a truck driver, and a computer animator. She lives in Madison County, and she writes poetry. And she wants you to take more of an interest in what you eat. Her book, Worship Your Food, avoids finger wagging, but is heavy on statistics about why your lunch today may not be helping you feel any better. The book is as much about empowerment as anything else. She writes about calories, pesticides, advertising, and flavor. When Quinn Montana came to our studio, I asked her when she first started thinking seriously about what she ate.
Well, I probably got started 30 years ago, if I think about it, with joining a co-op when I was in college. And I was introduced, I've always enjoyed experimenting with different kinds of foods and finding out about different kinds of foods. And so I was introduced to miso and to health foods of the day, tamari and things like that, or hummus and what have you, through that co-op. And I don't know that everything at that time was organic necessarily. It wasn't a word that was kind of on the lips of everybody in those days, but just health food, just healthy eating. And so although not all of my lifestyle was all that healthy in those days, my college years, I kind of evolved from that beginning that long ago and got into gardening later on and then really wanted to raise my own. I've never used pesticides or anything like that. Really wanted to raise my own food in a healthy way, and so became more, and studied herbalism actually as well, and learned about how much of what is out there had been used traditionally for centuries to heal ourselves, and that a lot of medications are coming from plant matter, and I say leave out the middleman, you know. So it kind of came from that, a kind of long evolution of finding out and then following through.
And you developed your own 90-10 rule?
Well, I call it the 90-10 rule because, to my mind, I found that you really, it's very difficult for most people to completely live on a diet that is organic. And that is what I'm espousing for the most part. There are lots of different diets out there. I'm not saying this is what you should eat or this is what you shouldn't eat, except for the fact that what you eat, if you could eat the same things that you normally eat but keep it organic, then you will be that much healthier. However, you're not going to convince everybody tomorrow. And so you end up going to a potluck or going to your mother-in-law's or, you know, visiting with relatives or somebody that is just not on board. And you have to leave yourself room for that. I think that, you know, you can talk about your preferences and why, while at the same time participating with it. I'm not going to go to somebody's wedding and say, ew, I'm not going to eat that, you know. I want to be civilized about it, but I also want to encourage other people to make the rest of your foundation diet 90% organic, then you can feel okay to have a little bit of leeway.
Someone hears this and say, well, that's great. You live on some acreage in Madison County. I live in an apartment. I'm working 50 hours a week. I don't have the time.
All right. I hear that a lot, and I do raise some of my own food, but, I've had a variety of jobs, and I talk about that because a lot of this movement is perceived of as a wealthy person's movement, and that is really does not have to be the case. So, you know, there's gewgaws and things that you can buy. You can pay for the fancy shopping bags, and you can get a plastic, which seems a little odd, but composter. But you don't have to. You can do all these things without any frills, and diet is very much part of that. You can, and I have, and I talk about that, live on really quality meals, exciting meals, colorful meals, that if with a little bit of preparation and planning and forethought each week, it does not have to be an overwhelming task, and you can make your own food and bring your own lunches, and you actually save money. And I know that there's this time, you know, people talk about, well, having kids and having that, and that it is, it's overwhelming, but have the kids participate. I mean, this is how people ate for centuries, and yes, our lives are stressed and full of jobs and all kinds of other demands, but it's really not not doable. It's really it's something that once you have decided that this is that important to you, you make the time.
You write that a cheeseburger, if I had eaten a cheeseburger in 1990, it probably had about 330 calories. And if I eat a cheeseburger, an average cheeseburger now, it's about 550.
We are a society that is based on consumerism, and they want us to consume more. And they, by they, I mean the corporate entities who are in charge of the mega agricultural monolith that's out there guiding what we do in a very developed, studied psychological way. And yes, the size of our portions has grown exponentially. Our plate sizes are bigger. If you get a turkey sandwich, as I talk about, the turkey sandwich was, I don't remember the statistics right now, but a small couple of ounces, and now it's twice as big. The sodas, again, the sodas are twice as big. Fries, every part of the meal, you're getting more. And we've come to believe that we want more because we're told that, and that in Japan, they have a saying. I don't remember the saying right now. I certainly couldn't have done it in Japanese anyway. But and what it says is stop eating when you're 80% full, essentially. And we don't do that. In many cultures, it was considered gauche or rude to become a glutton. And that's something that we've lost sight of. In our culture, we compete to eat. We eat as much as we can. We eat until we're completely full. And then sometimes we feel ill, and they say, don't worry, there's a pill for that. And they have us believing that it's perfectly okay to eat a whole pizza and then take a pill when you feel ill later. And it's that all works because they want us to eat more and more and more. And I don't think that anyone is on our side as far as looking out for us. We have to look out for ourselves. That's one of the messages that I want to convey.
Where to seek out recipes? Say, okay, I'm going to start going with the things I find at the co-op, or I'm going to go with the things I grow. But a lot of times I don't know what to do with them so they don't taste the same day after day.
Well, I'm just getting my blog together, but I'm hoping that I will have that kind of thing on an ongoing basis. I started on Facebook.com/worshipyourfood /worshipyourfood, and I have started putting various recipes on there. People would often ask me, what do you eat? And it makes me laugh because it's just what everyone else eats, only the organic version. But I sometimes do enjoy putting different vegetables together or different types of foods together. And so that will give you a way to enjoy new foods, perhaps. But you can enjoy the same foods that you are accustomed to, just without toxins.
Where can people find the book? They can email you, for one thing.
They can email me to find the book. It's available now at Amazon.com. It's available at Lulu.com, Lulu.com. That's a little better for me. And it's available also at BarnesandNoble.com. And here locally, it's available at Ozark Natural Foods and Nightbird Books and Collier Drugs.
Quinn, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kyle.